And this is a passage that most of us are very familiar with. And it reads, "Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you." Today the word church has adopted many different meanings, as do many other words within our English language. However, the New Testament scriptures were not written in the English language, but in Greek. And the word translated for church is ecclesia, which simply refers to a group of people. So today, as we focus our lesson on the Church of Christ, we'll be focusing on the group of people which belongs to Christ, the Church of Christ. And our lesson for tonight will be centered around three main points: the church that existed in purpose within the mind of God, the church that existed in prophecy and promise through the utterance of God's spokesmen, the church that exists today in perfection, God's everlasting kingdom, which will not be destroyed. So our first point, as we focus on the church that exists in purpose within the mind of God, I want for you to know, brethren, that before Adam and Eve, God knew that men would sin and men would fall away from His grace. The fellowship between man and God would have been broken by sin. And God was aware of this. Therefore, God derived a plan for man's salvation in Jesus Christ, even before the world existed. God's justice demanded that sin should be punished. However, His love provided a way for mankind to be saved. This plan of salvation remained the central theme of the Bible from this point going forward. And we'll be looking at examples in Scripture that reveals God's plan for man's salvation as it was concealed within the mind of God. Please turn your Bibles with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, and we'll be reading verse 15. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 reads, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Also in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, reading verse 8 and verse 9, it reads, "To me who am less than the least of all saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ." Also, we see God's concealed plan in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, reading from verse 5 to verse 7. And it reads, "Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, Behold, I have come in the volume of this book, as it is written of me, to do your will, O God.'" Here we see where God had a plan for man's salvation. However, this plan was not yet revealed to mankind. In the book of Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13 it reads, "You are of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he?" God knew that men would fall away, and he had a plan to restore man. However, this plan was not yet revealed. But what is the application from this passage for us? We are assured that God loves mankind, and even though his justice has demanded that sin be punished, he knew that we were helpless, and he provided a way through Jesus Christ. The church that Jesus Christ built is the only avenue that the Father has provided for man's redemption. And there is no other way. Even as we would have looked at the church as it existed in the mind of God, now I would want for us to look at our second point, the church that exists in prophecy and promise through the utterance of God's spokesmen. Brethren, 750 years before Christ, Isaiah announced the eventual establishment of the Lord's house in the last days in Jerusalem. Micah also preached the same message around the same period. About 500 years before Jesus Christ, Daniel declared to the pagan king that the God of heaven would set up a kingdom that would never be destroyed. With the appearance of John the Baptist, the church entered a new sphere of existence. Then the Lord himself declared his intentions for the kingdom. In the book of Isaiah chapter 2, reading from verse 1 to verse 4, we see where the prophecy through Isaiah declares. And it reads, "The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nations, neither shall they study war anymore." Micah also declared, in the book of Micah chapter 4, reading from verse 1, to verse 3. And it reads, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up swords against nations, neither shall they learn war anymore." Brethren, both prophecies are very similar, especially in wording. It would sound as if I was repeating the same thing, but this was God's revelation to Isaiah and Micah. Also in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, it reads, "In the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break into pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Also, we see in Joel chapter 2, reading from verse 28 to verse 32, and it reads, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillar of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnants whom the Lord called. And even as we examined these prophets of old, we see where Isaiah prophesied of the church, Micah prophesied of the church, Daniel prophesied of the church, Joel prophesied of the church. But even as we draw closer to the church in its actuality, we see where John the Baptist, in the book of Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 3, reading from verse 1 to verse 3, and it reads, "In those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" As we observe where John the Baptist, he was preparing the way of the Lord. He was giving Christ his formal introduction. We also see where Jesus Christ himself spoke of the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, it reads, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" What it simply means is that the kingdom of heaven was even closer than before. Also, we see in the same book of Matthew, chapter 16, we'll be reading from verse 17 to verse 19, and it reads, "Jesus answered and said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it.'" And I read verse 18 again for emphasis. And it says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven." Brethren, we know that the church did not only exist within the mind of God, but it was also prophesied. And these prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. If we follow the scriptures, we can find the origin of the promise, as well as the establishment of the church, which we are going to look at next. Our final point is the church as it exists today in perfection, God's eternal kingdom, which will not be destroyed. In the year AD 30, it happened in Jerusalem, just as Isaiah predicted. The time was the last days. During the time of the Roman king Tiberius, just as Daniel predicted, God poured out his spirit upon the 12 apostles on the first Pentecost. After Christ's resurrection, just as Joel predicted, the miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit enabled the apostles to convict the hearts of those who crucified Christ, to be convicted and to be converted through the gospel. Peter then detailed God's condition for forgiveness and entrance in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We'll be looking at several examples in scriptures for the perfect existence of the church. If you will, turn your Bibles with me to the book of Acts chapter 1. We'll be reading from verse 6 to verse 8. And it reads, "Therefore, when you come together, they ask him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons, which a father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We also see in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 13, where it reads, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, just as Daniel had predicted. In the book, we also see in the book of Acts chapter 2, reading from verse 2 to verse 4. And it reads, and suddenly when there came a sound from heaven, as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance, just as Joel has prophesied. We also see in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 20, and it reads, now then, we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. Brethren, reconciliation is taking place within the church. We also see in the book of Acts, chapter 2, from verse 36 to verse 47. And this is the first conversion that took place within the church. And this is our model for today. Please turn your Bibles with me as we read. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and God. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So for us, we can have confidence in the church, the church of Jesus Christ, which existed in the mind of God from before creation, which was prophesied by the prophets and is now in effect. For us to have confidence in God and his church and his means for our salvation. Brethren, the church was not only within the mind of God, neither was it only prophesied, but God fulfilled his promise to us. And today we are within the church. God's eternal kingdom, which will never be destroyed. And in closing, as we observe the Church of Christ, we notice that it is not the efforts of man's invention, but it began with the Almighty God Himself. And this plan existed in the mind of God even before this world came into existence. And God gave it to the prophets through visions and has now established His church. And that is why whenever we read our Bibles and we turn to Romans chapter 16 from verse 16, we can see where the apostle was sending greetings to the church of Christ. And today it stands as God's eternal kingdom, which will never be destroyed. So what is the application for us? For those of us who are already members of the Lord's body, of the Lord's church, which He promised and which He also delivered, we must evangelize. We must tell people because the world is lost and people are dying. And only God's truth can save them. Christ said, "The harvest indeed is indeed ready, but the laborers are few." Pray that the Lord of harvest will send forth reapers. And for those of us who are not yet a part of the church which existed in the mind of God and was delivered through the prophets and is now in existence today as God's eternal kingdom, I would encourage you, I would urge you to come forward. The water is ready. We are ready to study with you, to share God's message with you. Tonight you would have heard the gospel. It is for you to believe the truth, to be willing to confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, to submit to Him, and to repent. Repentance is simply a word which states that we'll be willing to change our lives for Christ. It's a change of mind which results in a change of action. To change from our previous way of living to turn to Jesus Christ and to live for Him. And be baptized for the remission of your sins. So in closing, even as we sing our invitation song tonight, we sing this song with you in mind, hoping that you will come forward and become a part of God's eternal kingdom, which will never be destroyed. Amen.